Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamer Podcast. I'm Nick Perzanowski. This is episode 5, and with me is Tim Madden.
Herpaderp.
Charles Caldwell.
Howdy, y'all.
Steve Morgan.
You know what he did.
And introducing this week is special guest Ryan Gunn.
Hello.
All right, so how's everybody doing? What are you guys up to?
I want Charles to respond.
All right. Well, this week I started my my master's program back up again, doing management accounting and learning how to count numbers better.
Count numbers, Charles?
Yes.
It's a good thing to do with numbers.
Management style, right? Which is funny because the last class I took, and this is all financial reporting, and now it's all management reporting. And basically, the first thing they say is financial reporting sucks. So it's interesting.
Doesn't sound interesting.
Nice, Steve. What do you have going on?
So I went to New Hampshire this weekend, and on my way back to Boston, there was the race that was at Loudoun, the NASCAR race.
Yeah.
That was just getting out, and I missed my bus because when I went to take the bus back to from Concord to Boston, they had closed the exits off because there was like there was so much traffic that they closed like some of the exits off, and they widened the southbound lane to like into the northbound lane. And so I was like, well, I guess I can't take the bus because, like, obviously I was like last minute, obviously. And so, and I just drove like all the way to Boston, and the whole way I was just losing like my mind because everyone from Boston like drives like maniacs. So I was like constantly like people flashing their lights at me.
You just gotta get rageful.
Yeah.
You're like, ah!
I need Charles to like throw objects out the window at cars and to make them feel better.
No, you just gotta have the extra power button, and then you just bash into them.
Just drive right over them.
Tim, what's going on with you?
I flew back home last week, and since then I've left the house like twice, and that's been about it, man. I have to get this out because it's important. Don't ever fly Spirit Airlines. Just putting that out there. It was the worst experience of my entire life.
Why would you not go Southwest? Like,
So I found like a cheaper fare, and I probably saved like $30 on Spirit, but then you got to pay for your carry on.
I heard this,
which I didn't realize.
Yeah,
and also dope. The seats were like I'm not even a tall guy, but my knees were like against the seat in front of me. It was just insane.
So basically, if you're me, you'd never get on that flight, or you'd go Godzilla and destroy it.
They would have just crammed you in like the baggage area because you would have not.
I was gonna say, Charles, when is there a time when you don't do that normally, anyways?
Yeah. But yeah, that's about it.
Nice. This weekend I did the Spartan race, which was.
Did you have to do burpees?
I did a few, but I didn't. Well. I stopped at mile 7. It was a 13-mile race, and because the temperature dropped like 20 degrees, and it was 44 degrees outside, it was blowing like 10 miles per hour, and I was in and out of water at mile 7, and I was definitely feeling as if I was going hypothermic because my body wouldn't stop shaking. So I decided instead of like dying in the water, I would just stop. yeah, so that sucked.
That's brutal.
It's terrible.
It's a bad weekend for a Spartan race.
It was really bad. And of course it was a 2-day thing, so you could either do it on Saturday or do it on Sunday. And Saturday was like it was like 70 degrees, sunny, it was gorgeous. So I got the shit on the stick on that one, but
what about your friend who was doing it with you?
Well, she stopped at the same time too, cuz she actually had less body fat than I do. So
is that possible?
I know. And the thing is like Nick texts me and he goes, yeah man, I couldn't finish, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm never doing this thing ever. Like, I was like oh my god, because I like, because considering it now, there's
this
no chance.
This is Sparta.
This is Sparta. Yeah, but Do you guys know Killington, like the ski mountain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So by mile 7, we had to climb up and down the mountain three times. One of the times with a 60-pound sandbag.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So much fun.
And they were like,
we would not want to do that.
And there were obstacles in the middle. So the mountain wasn't even an obstacle. It was just like there were things there. It was ridiculous.
It's terrible.
But
so you're saying we need to start training for the late night gamer Spartan race next year.
Yeah, and I'm thinking it's gonna involve like maybe a quarter mile walk and a bunch of drinking beer.
And we're gonna
random video game challenges.
Yeah.
Beat Battletoads.
It's like,
yeah, exactly. It's like,
play for an hour and don't get mad, basically.
Make it past the sewer level.
Well, we're glad so that, you're okay.
that brings us to our special guest, which is Ryan. Ryan,
very special.
Why don't you tell us just a little background about yourself and let people know who you are?
Yeah, I'm a casual gamer, I guess. I work at Dell.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm a storage solutions architect. It sounds really cool. I'm a big MMO player right now. I'm trying to play Final Fantasy XIV. It's good so far. Right now I'm stuck in a glitch. It's been up for about 4 days, and I can't progress in the main storyline, which is awesome. Sony, I know you're listening to this podcast because it's so popular. Please fix it.
Sony!
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
Nice.
I'm mainly a PC gamer. Don't do much on consoles. I do have a 360, but haven't touched it in months.
Any cool. Ridiculous things happened to you this week?
Yeah, what'd you do this week?
I didn't do much this week. Watched a lot of football this weekend.
Awesome.
I woke up on Sunday and my dog had a cough. I don't know. I didn't really know dogs could get coughs.
I knew they could sneeze.
Nice. Well, welcome, Ryan.
This is Sparta.
Thank you.
Well, I guess we going right into some news topics for this week. We had a few big things, I guess, happen. First off, we had the...
They're huge!
Huge! we had the Valve announcement this week. Well, there's two more, I guess. But we haven't... It's Tuesday, so tomorrow, I think, is the next one. I think probably the last one's on Friday. Yeah. But, Tim, do you want to talk about
chaos.
The Valve announcement a little bit?
Yeah, basically they just announced Steam OS, which is essentially a Linux distribution based on Steam, and they haven't given too many details, but basically that's it. It's a Linux distribution that's going to be free that will be based on Steam. You know, it's Gabe had given a talk recently on at LinuxCon about Linux and they've taken a lot of initiatives as of late to help improve the Linux platform, and Steam has been on Linux for a while now, and you know, I think this is personally, I think it's awesome. I think it's a move in the right direction. I think Windows 8 can't kind of shun Steam and other distribution platforms, so it's just the logical progression, you know.
Yeah, and what do you guys think the other two announcements are going to be this week?
Well, they've been hiring hardware experts, so I have a feeling it's going to have something to do with the
Steam Box.
Yeah, I assume it's going to be that.
And Half-Life 3.
I don't quite understand how the Steam Box would work. Like, you plug it into your, and then you run it off of your controllers. Like, what? I don't get it.
Well, I'm wondering if they're doing, like, I just got a Chromecast. I don't know if you've heard about that. Yeah, or you'd still have your box somewhere else. It would just stream. So you'd still need a PC for it. I'm thinking it might do something like that.
Well, the Steam Box is supposed to have, like, interchangeable upgrades, right? That was their whole big thing.
Yeah, from what I understand, it's supposed to be, like, essentially a PC. You
okay.
Know, that you can upgrade yourself if you want to.
So, like, supposedly really user-friendly upgrades, like almost like the expansion pack on the N64, but with parts for computers.
Oh, the nice. Expansion pack, that little red box.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't play most of the games that required it because I was too poor to freaking buy that expansion pack.
Yeah, Donkey Kong, when that came out, that required the expansion instead of Majora's Mask, and that's actually how I got it.
That's why I never played Majora's Mask. It turns out you can't rent the expansion pack at no choice.
Another announcement this week, I guess, Warcraft movie. Ryan, you were saying that Warcraft movie, or I think one of you was saying Warcraft movie was already kind of announced before, but this week, big announcement, Colin Farrell might be in it. Sweet, I guess.
I hope he's an orc.
He's a murloc.
What's the story of that line that they're going to follow?
They've been really tight to the chest with what kind of storyline they're going to have and all that stuff, but I'm pretty sure it's animated, so I'm guessing this is a voice actor role. I can't imagine a live-action Warcraft movie.
Why not? They should do they should make it in the similar graphics of Avatar.
It's probably not a ridiculous thing to say, though, like, in the fact that, like, it was popular and
made a lot of money.
And if that's the case, they all need tails that hook into things that kind of look like vaginas.
The thing about Warcraft that's weird is, like, well, I don't know, I always played Horde, so I guess I don't really know the Alliance side, but, like, I feel like there's never a human character besides, like, Arthas and, like, Uther Lightbringer and some of the Warcraft 3 characters that were, like, really popular.
Well, those are all the characters from Warcraft 3, but, I mean, Warcraft 2 and Warcraft had human characters.
True. So you could do a Warcraft movie, but not, like, a World of Warcraft, right? There's not really any, like, character, like, big characters in World of Warcraft that have massive storylines. Are there? I don't know. I could be being naive about that.
Not really.
Yeah, I think if they do it, it's either going to have to be after World of Warcraft or before it. I can't see them doing anything during World of Warcraft.
Yeah, trying to, like, mix into an expansion pack or something.
That'd be terrible. Mr. Pandario, the World of Warcraft movie. I'll get Jack Black to play the panda and then everything will be fine.
I think they Jack already Black. Made that movie anyways. Isn't it called, like, Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
It's basically where Mr. Pandaria
came from. I saw the movie and they're like, oh yeah, but there was a precedent. They did have the panda act like superhero in the end of Frozen Throne that you could play. True. And so
that was way before Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, that was
Pandaria was in the lore. According to WoWWiki, though, this is actually a live action movie. This just in, hot off the presses. So
the thing is, though, like, the thing that's odd about it is, like, I'm not really, like, I played WoW a long time, but I'm not really that interested in seeing a WoW movie. Like, I have no interest in being like, oh, look, it's Grom Hellscream, like, or something, like, who cares? Like,
yeah, but you're not a lore nerd. Like, I don't know. I got down with a lot of the WoW lore, and I would love to see a movie that Grom Hellscream cutscene in Warcraft.
I agree with
3.
That.
Yeah. Is one of the best things I've ever watched. I'd watch that for an hour and 20 minutes.
I think that YouTube video exists, where it's just a cycling of that same video over and over again.
So they have history in making full-length movies.
But those videos that, like, Blizzard makes are always awesome. You don't even need to follow the lore. Like, look at StarCraft. It's like, yeah, do some things, and then, holy crap!
I love you, Sarge!
I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't played the campaign of not Brood War, Heart of the Swarm. But the final cutscene in that, I literally got a little choked up. There was emotion in it. Blizzard knows what they're doing.
Yeah, those were good. Heart of the Swarm had really good cutscenes.
I have a confession. I've never, ever played an MMO.
Oh, God.
Not even, like, signed on.
I don't know if I really want you to do it, because once you're in, you're going to be hooked.
Yeah.
At least for a solid 120 hours.
No, 40 days.
Pros and cons of MMOs.
Other MMO news this week. Tim was saying Warhammer Online's closing December 18th.
And no one cares.
That's why it's closing.
It was cool. Like, when it first came out, it seemed really cool, and they really hyped it up. And, I mean, Warhammer is such a rich universe, but it just never really caught on.
Chaos!
Chaos is the best, man. Just, like, random arms jutting out of everywhere.
I just remember playing that game on it over and over and over again as the Chaos, and just getting chaos stuck in my brain. Chaos!
So this game is closing, like, just never can log on again sort of closing?
Apparently, but I usually it gets bought out by someone and then they bring it back online somewhere. But
I'm sure people, there'll be at least one person to host, like, an emulated server or something. Not that I would condone that kind of action.
It will happen.
All right. Charles, you want to continue your genre video game ranting?
Well, we've all been waiting for.
Sure.
Part two, Charles.
So, the next sequence in the continued video game discussion on genres includes simulator, racing, adventure, puzzler, survival, horror, 2D, side-scroller, and MMO. We already covered some of MMO, so I don't know if we can let Ryan cover any components that he finds especially meaningful in the MMO genre once I get through all of these others. So, for a simulator... I haven't played too many of these, mostly because when it's a simulator, when you're playing it, it just seems to get really overly complex. And if I'm playing a simulator and I'm in the first stages of it, I don't want to have to be, like, spending 10 hours learning all of the buttons that are going to be required, which is kind of why I hate ports on PC, is when you bring in a game that's from the console, like Dark Souls was. Granted, they didn't design it for the PC. You have to systematically go through and assign all of the keys. And with simulators, usually it's flying simulators for me. I always want to go in and try to fly something specific, some weird plane, and then fly it around. But that's...
You haven't played Surgeon Simulator yet?
What's that?
Surgeon Simulator?
No.
Yeah, you get to, like, cut people open and stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
really? Oh, good Lord.
Throw organs out the back of the ambulance.
It's weird that Tim would play that game.
I haven't played it, but it's like made its rounds.
Yeah, I guess I haven't been familiar with too many other simulators.
Euro Truck Simulator has been getting a lot of people like Euro Truck. They say it's just kind of like you get in, you drive your truck, and it's literally like a ride can take like 2 or 3 hours. It's supposed to be relaxing, and you just kind of...
That sounds excruciating.
It's got to like listen to music.
Where do you drive? Is it? Are they
drive
like...
all over Europe?
You basically are a Mack truck driver, and you simulate the life of a Mack truck driver.
Oh.
So every now and then you stop at some small town, you get out, and you kill some people, and then you keep driving.
This isn't GTA.
I think you are spreading a very harsh stereotype of truck drivers. They're fine, respectable people.
I think they go to gas stations and they tap their foot underneath twice to get something sexual. Or
if it's part of a game, it's got to have some serial killer element in it. Come on.
Or male prostitution. One or the other.
Yeah.
It got a 79. Euro Truck Simulator 2 got a 79 Metascore on Steam.
Really?
People like it. It's a quality truck simulator. It's the best in years.
And would you guys consider like the Sim City and the Tycoon game simulators? I don't know if I would.
Toilet Tycoon? You gotta make sure there's paper stocks.
The prison simulator or prison designer or something like that? That one's supposed to be pretty good too.
Yeah, there's one, there's a farm simulator that just came out for like PlayStation Vita, which didn't make any sense to me. I was like, why do I want to play a farm simulator? It makes no sense.
Alright, so now I'm done with simulator. The next one I'm going to cover is racing. And mainly racing games. I enjoy them when I go to an arcade, but I'm not going to play them every day when I'm going home, unless there's some combat component where I can damage the other car. Or, like, maybe I'm just extremely violent.
Needs
in my
to be
brain
violent.
Preferences.
Picking up on a trend here.
Yeah. But with simulator games, I don't mind flying a plane around, but with racing games, there's got to be some other component. I mean, it's competitive. You want to win, so if you can't run somebody else off the road, then what's the point?
You can just beat them in a race.
Yeah, I think that's what separates like Mario Kart from every other racing game.
That's
Gran Turismo.
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Twisted Mario Metal. Kart. Twisted Metal wasn't even a racing game.
No, you would that and Vigilante 8.
Yeah, Vigilante 8 was my favorite. We could fly around as the spaceship or the bus and just screw things up.
Just vehicles destroying each other.
Well, also too, I think this is like one of the genres that like porting is really affected by, because like our maybe just like console differences, like trying to play a racing game on a computer is horrible. Like, you, I, this is one thing where I need a controller when I play it. I have to have a controller.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you ever play with, like, the steering wheel?
Yeah, I played with, on Wii, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. You had a Wii controller that was shaped like a steering wheel?
Well, when Mario Kart came with just a, like, a fabricated wheel. So you put your controller inside of it, and then you have a wheel, and you're playing with it.
I'm just kidding.
That needs to be a YouTube video. Charles playing with his Wii controller.
Though I think I destroyed mine, honestly. I think it broke or something because I was gripping it too hard.
You didn't throw it like Xena's weapon?
What's that?
You didn't throw it like Xena's like disc weapon?
No. Nope. And surprisingly, I've never thrown the Wii remote, so that's good.
Have you ever seen that video of... I think I posted it on our group on Facebook. The guy throws the Wii remote or the Wiimote and it hits the guy in the back of the head and he falls through a glass table.
I don't remember that.
Wiimotes have caused so much destruction.
It was intense.
Smacking small children, elderly.
So many LCD TVs destroyed by Wiimotes, just like.
Nintendo was just like, screw the TV industry.
Well, the best part, too, was with the Wii, is like, when they first came out with the Wii, they realized that the straps were, like, not that good. So, like, I had, like, you know, a launch date Wii, and then after that, they were like, yeah, you can just bring back your Wiimotes, and we'll just give you a new strap, because people were just throwing and snapping the straps right off and smashing into their TV.
New upgraded with spider strength.
It was, like, four times as thick.
Okay. Next topic. Alright, so let's go on to adventure. Adventure games are probably my favorite, whether it be, I mean, like the Zelda games and recently Darksiders and Darksiders 2. I really enjoyed those games mostly because you get to play in a game and actually jump on stuff, whereas in some other games you don't necessarily aren't able to do some of the things. Like in a shooter, you can't, like, go everywhere on the map necessarily, and unless it's like an RPG shooter or open a wide world shooter or something to that effect. But for adventure, like in Darksiders, I really loved the upgradable level of weapons, but also like the dungeon kind of schematic. I really enjoy like working through a dungeon and just figuring out all the puzzles and killing all of the different new characters. And I think that's the most important piece for me is that. Maybe because adventure is my favorite, because with that level of design, there is change in every single component of the game. Where in an RPG, you maybe fight. I think the image on our late night gamers page is pertinent. Where it's level 1, you're fighting crabs. Level 80, you're fighting purple crabs. But in an adventure, you're killing off completely different enemies. This course of the entire game, whereas in some other games you don't necessarily do that.
So your favorite game is the one where you get to kill the most things.
Yes. The most different kinds of things. So I get to kill skeletons, I get to kill worms, I get to kill dragons, I get to kill, I don't know, undead worms, I don't know.
See, I feel like for me, adventure games, the big part is the story. Like, if you haven't played Bastion, one of the best adventure games ever, and the storyline's awesome, and you finally get to the end, you feel so accomplished. Definitely recommend that game if no one's played it.
Oh, yeah, I've played that. I think we all have.
Yeah, but that's like that's the point, though. It's like, I don't even really remember what you fought in that game, but the storyline was so good that you just never forget that game.
And I listen to the soundtrack all the time, yeah. And the announcer in that game was... just that deep, chocolatey voice. Let's do it all day.
Sets off for the Bastion, where everyone agreed to go in case of trouble.
I remember the enemies in that game. It was all those stupid bubble characters.
The squirts.
Squirts.
But you mean you were fighting squirts till the end?
But there were special different kinds of squirts.
Purple squirts.
Yeah, that's one adventure game where the storyline really overrode everything else. All right, puzzlers. Puzzlers, puzzlers, puzzlers. Right now I'm actually playing Trine 2. We'll probably cover a little bit of this later on, but I think the biggest thing about puzzles is like I like to be able to find all of the stuff. I mean, I want it to be challenging, but some games just are way too like nitpicky on that sort of thing. I don't know if any of you can speak to that, but that's just my general impression on puzzler games. I'm not that, I mean, like, Bejeweled, nah.
Well, I mean, not even just that, but, like, I was playing, what the hell was that game? What game was I just playing? I don't even remember the name of it now. But, like, you have to carry along this, like, princess, and there's, like...
Fat Princess?
Fat Princess.
No, it wasn't Fat Princess. It was, Dokoro. It was, like, you're, like, this evil, or not evil, but you're just, like, this dead guy, and he's saving this princess from the Lord of Death or something, but the storyline has nothing really to do with the game, but the princess, like, is continuously moving forward, and you have to, like, figure out how to push things into spike pits and make sure that she can get across without falling in or getting attacked by these enemies and stuff, so, I mean, I would consider, that was a 2D side-scroller.
Are there any are there any games that are straight puzzlers now? I feel like it's all some sort of cross-genre game.
Sure, but if you think of a game like World of Goo or something, like...
I haven't played that.
Yeah,
that was a great game, and I mean, that's basically a puzzler, right? I mean, you're building, like, towers and stuff with, like, goo, and you gotta figure out how to get to the end or get, like, the goo to the end or however that is.
Hmm.
And even, like, I mean, cross-genre, if you look at, like, Portal. Portal was a great game, story.
Yeah,
first-person shooter, and that's, and it's a puzzler at its core.
The portal that will open in 3.
That was a fantastic game, too.
1.
Both games, and the writing. The dialogue is Coen Brothers level. Yeah. So good.
I think the biggest thing about that I liked about Portal is you feel so smart when you actually do find something out towards the end of the game. Like, the beginning, it's really easy. You're like, oh, I just put a portal here, and then I'm through. But then towards the end, it's like all these intricate jumps and stuff that you just are like, whoa, and then you fly through, and then you're getting this done.
Also, speaking of puzzle-type games, I don't know if... This is actually a newer game called Gunpoint. Has anyone played that?
No.
No.
It's like a really good game. It's like it's a 2D side score type game where you like do these missions, and it has like a component where you have sort of like an electronic viewpoint, like you switch frames and you can see how things are interconnected. So you like have to open certain switches to open certain doors, and it's kind of like stealthy. You can decide to be like stealthy, but like the thing is like you can cross wire switches. So like a guy comes after you and he tries to turn the light on, and then he like opens a door that you need to get through somewhere. It's kind of cool. It's a really cool game. I liked it. It was only a couple hour beat, so it was like, you know, good like amount of time you didn't like get frustrated.
A lot of games now too are adding in puzzlers as like a mini game inside of the game. Like what was the name of it? Poof. I'm going to look at my Steam library right now cuz I'm spacing out the
Hacking in BioShock.
Well, Hacking in BioShock is is definitely one of them. And then there was... Oh, goddamn, what's the name of the game?
Lockpicking in Skyrim. It's a really tiny puzzle.
So many locks broken.
Oh, Deus Ex Human Revolution. Like, that was... Hacking in that game was a huge part of the entire game. And I really enjoyed that portion of the game. Like, hacking into a system, making it so the drones and the rest of the level are coming in and killing all of the enemies in there. It's like the small thing that changes the whole course of the game. I really enjoy that.
Oh, also, any of you heard of Frozen Synapse? This is kind of getting a weird side of puzzler. I think it's Android only.
Yeah.
I got it during one of the Humble Bundles, and it's kind of like a turn base, but it's like player versus player, but it's kind of like strategic, and you have to like set up three different dudes in a room, and then like. To anticipate when the other guy is going to go into the same room and you shoot him first. So I actually don't know if this is a puzzler or not, but it's kind of like a strategic game where you're doing separate turns and you have to plan and try and figure out when he's going to come and attack. I don't know. It's a really good game. Just check it out.
Looks really weird.
That made me think of. I think it might only be on iOS. I don't know. It's called Space Team. We played it at the last PAX.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you'd consider it a puzzler. It's kind of like a reaction based, but it's another game where you have.
Oh yeah, that game.
You have at least two players, and you kind of have to. You'll get like commands, and then you have to tell the other player what to do. It might be on your screen, it might be on their screen, and it'll be really weird things like poke the digitizer or fondle the lever switch, and it's like you have no idea what it means, but it might be on the other person.
But it saves you from a fiery death.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird, like, there's a huge human interaction element to it, which is what makes it so unique, you know?
All right, survival horror. This is not my favorite genre, but it's definitely Nick's.
Oh my god.
I enjoy it because it's terrifying, and I mean, watching horror movies forever makes you love it, and you get to play that character. But I always get a little too antsy when I'm playing a survival horror, and I'm freaking out because I know I'm about to die 100 times. And Dark Souls was a little bit that way, but you could also deal out the punishment. Not so much in most survival horrors. It's mostly just you're running. Yeah. But that one that Outlast, that looks ridiculous.
Oh my god! You have in that game, you have no weapons. All you have is a digital camera that you're like viewing the room in not infrared but night vision, and there's just like shit going on. It's a what do you call it? Like an insane asylum for criminals, and I don't know.
I think a healthy stealth mechanic is essential to any survival horror, because if that fails, then it just gets extremely frustrating when you're trying to escape from some fiend or something.
Yeah, that's the shit that was like so scary when I played it at PAX, and you know, I'm in it's completely, you know, bright space, and it's. I had, you know, headphones on and stuff, but playing it, you know, a body drops from the ceiling and it's just completely quiet because you're just walking through a library. It scared the shit out of me. I jumped, and then this guy starts, like, this weird dude starts breaking through this door and
screeching.
And you're watching him do this, and you're on the other side of the door, and you can't do anything about it, so you just have to run away, and the only thing you can do is run and hide under a bed and watch his foot, like his feet, walk by. Ugh, it's fucking terrible. I don't know if you guys have seen videos for The Evil Within.
That's the one you posted on Late Night Gamers, right?
Yeah, it looks...
That game looks scary.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Like, poop your pants scary.
It's like Resident Evil, like, on drugs.
Yeah, like, it's nuts.
Weird. It's like Resident Evil and Silent Hill had a child, and his name is The Evil With...
It's from the creator of Resident Evil.
It is. Shinji Mikami, I think.
Yeah.
It's like The Ring. There's like something crawling with all these arms. I'm like, ah! I was screaming when I watched the trailer.
Oh my god! I know. I can't wait. Like, once I get that game, I'm definitely gonna only use headphones, and I'm only gonna play After Dark. It's gonna be
so
good.
Awful. I'm like too old for scary games at this point. I tried to go back and play BioShock 1. BioShock is not a scary game, but that little like splicer dude creeping on the outside of the window, I freaked out. I quit. Oh, god. Have you guys heard of Amnesia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought that game because I wanted to play it, but just from like rumors alone, I'm too scared to play it. Like, I've literally had it highlighted in my Steam library. Like, want to kick play, but I can't. It's too scary.
Are you talking about the original one?
Yeah, Dark Descent. Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Machine for Pigs is coming out too, right?
Yeah, I think it just came out this week.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize I owned it until you said that. I looked, and I realized it's the same reason. So like every time I look at it, I'm like, I don't think this is a game I want to play today. So just like go to a new game.
I'm just gonna go back to Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Well, it's like Dead Space for me right now.
Yeah.
I got Dead Space and Dead Space 3, and I've seen the Dead Space gameplay, and I'm not sure that I really want to start like silently lurking through a level. Though I'm looking forward to shooting off the arms and legs of these creatures, but.
With the
with the killing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that game was really good. Survival horror too. It was, you know, you're just walking through. It's completely like it'll be completely silent cuz it's space obviously, but then all of a sudden like some hose will break loose, and it's absolutely nothing that can hurt you, but it scares the crap out of you. It's just like
they actually made a dead
God
space.
Damn it.
They made a Dead Space cartoon movie that they put on Netflix, and that movie was pretty horrifying as well.
I feel like another aspect to like make games scary is you have to have some kind of like scavenge or like objective inside of the game. Like that's what BioShock made for me. It was always so scary because like I was constantly scavenging because I never had any ammo. So I'd be like in some room, right. like picking up like a box, and then some jump out, and you're like, holy shit, because you like get distracted by something. Slenderman, basically.
Oh my god, Slenderman, that shit.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly Slenderman is right now.
No one knows. It was invented on the internet.
There's a meme. I'm looking at the meme. So maybe we should just move to Ryan and his preferences on MMO. I kind of covered this in the last one, but Ryan?
I think the best part about MMOs is it varies from game to game, and you can pretty much add whatever you want to an MMO. Like, if they want to put in a puzzler aspect to an MMO, they can. You have your RPG elements. You have the social dynamic. I guess that's the one thing that you can't have an MMO without having a lot of people online to group together and talk with.
Have there been any MMOs that have integrated the speech right into the game? Where you go into a city and there's just a bunch of yelling.
I think a lot of them have, but not. I mean, never really caught on.
Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're never gonna get the quality of a third-party app like TeamSpeak.
Well, the thing is too is like if you have a public voice chat, you have a. I mean, you can't really filter that, so like you have a lot of issues with just content and people banning and just. I feel like also rage quantities like just. Like, if I could PvP in WoW and then somebody could talk to me with their mic on the other team, I would probably, like, my blood pressure would be, like, 30% higher because I'd be constantly screaming all day.
And if you've never played an MMO with Steve during PvP, like, his blood pressure is about to have an aneurysm already, so 30% above that.
What if they could just talk to you after they kill you, and you could just talk to them after they kill you?
This
kill
is
them.
What happened in this game called All Points Bulletin, where it was, like, a Grand Theft Auto MMO that me and Brandon played, and, like, you could speak out loud, which was, like, funny, because someone would, like, drive by in a car, and they'd be like, F you! And then you'd hear them, like, and it would get quieter as they went away, you know?
Yeah,
and that was funny.
Awesome.
I mean, and that you could draw stuff on your cars and stuff. We could customize them, but people would just draw penises and stuff. So like, it was just, there was just cars with penises driving. And then like, but the problem was like in this game, you were either a cop or a bad guy. And like, when someone would kill you, like you know, you'd get a mission to go rob a bank, and someone else would get a mission to go, there's a bank robbery. So they'd come and they'd start trying to stop you in the mission, but they'd shoot you, and then you'd be dead, and you'd be like. Yeah, screw you! You had a cheap gun. You suck. You're nothing. You ain't got nothing. It's like you'd be talking so much trash, and someone would come back, and like we'd come back and try to kill the same guy because it's like open world. You could just kill anybody. Terrible. I mean, it's a terrible idea. It was funny. It was funny, but it just never will work. The other thing too about MMOs is like I feel like they're only gonna expand in their like. User base, like as people are getting more, like as computers become more easily accessible to people, and like games are become, I mean, like the baseline computer now is so much better than the baseline computer was like 5 or 6 years ago. Like my mom has like an i5 and stuff, like you know what I mean. Like it's not like she'd have problems running like WoW or you know a MMO, whereas you couldn't do this in the past.
We're also seeing the push of MMOs to consoles. Final Fantasy 14's out on PS3. It's going to PS4.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Destiny MMO or the Halo MMO. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on consoles and PCs.
DCUO.
But yeah, so, I mean, a lot of people that don't have a PC or at least a gaming-capable PC have a console. So there's definitely an expanding audience.
Absolutely, and I think that's like that's why you. I personally think that's one of the reasons why WoW saw a huge jump in like the amount of people playing MMOs. Because if you look at like games like the original EverQuest or Ultima, all these games like, I mean, Ultima is not a good example, but the original EverQuest, like you know, you needed a decent computer to play it. Like you didn't need a great computer, but you needed to have a computer for gaming. And like now, anyone can play WoW. Like a 7-year-old woman can just go play WoW. Like. She doesn't need to like go out and buy a computer for a while.
And you're talking EverQuest. You needed an internet connection. Remember a time before people had internet connections?
Yeah.
Didn't have cable internet in Bristol.
Dial-up. Yeah,
Yes.
I can remember dialing up to play MMO.
God. And how do you dial up if, like, you have multiple computers? Because you maybe don't have a... It's bad.
And what if your mom wants to talk on the phone? You can do that.
That was my...
You get off in the middle of the camp and your mom.
God.
So I think that that's kind of a perfect segue into our question of the week this week. We had two questions that were pretty similar, but from John Grandy and Mike Bean. We have we'll do the first part first. Where do you think the future of MMOs is going? And I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, but what else do you guys? I mean, you guys have anything else on that?
I don't know if you guys have talked about this already, but if you've been paying any attention to EverQuest Next, I am super hyped and excited for that.
Me too, man.
It looks fucking amazing, and like what they're talking about with emergent AI. I give a brief synopsis. Like their example is, normally in an MMO, you have like a camp of orcs, and you get a quest, and you go kill 10 orcs, and they're always in the same spot, and they're always at the same camp. With emergent AI, they spawn a colony of orcs, and the orcs have different things they want. So they want to be close to travelers, but not, you know, right next to a city. They want to have like a cave nearby so that they can hide their loot in or whatever. And they don't want to die all the time. So if they get raided a ton and they get killed over and over and over again, they'll just move. They'll go somewhere else. They'll find a new camp that kind of meets all their needs, and it creates this like dynamic world. So you can't go online and check like a wiki page to find out where the orcs are, because it's different on every server depending on what happened to them. And if they can make that work, I think it's the only way we're ever going to get another that feeling of like something new and unique that's kind of been missing from MMOs for a while.
Yeah, I agree entirely. It's
would then they invade some other NPC and kill all of them and take their habitat and then.
Yeah, it might. I mean, that's what they're trying to hype it as. I'm still a little skeptical. It seems like it's going to be really hard to pull off.
It's an MMO ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the next. That I mean, it's a logical evolution. We kind of live in a world of theme park MMOs now. And to take it to that level, that's like the ultimate level. To have like a real living, breathing world that you become part of, you know.
And I think a lot of like what, especially older MMOers miss is like back in the when you were raiding Molten Core, there was no YouTube. You couldn't go on and check a strat. Like, you were learning as you played, and it's just something that you can't, because information is so easy to spread on the internet. You just can't get that same feeling without, you know, if I'm stuck in an MMO, the first thing I'm gonna do is Google it and try and figure out what's going on. And that's kind of on me, but in this system, I'm not gonna have that option.
Yeah, this is what made EverQuest 1 so amazing, is that it was so brutally uninformative that, like, you would just be wandering around trying to find stuff, or you wouldn't even know what was on other continents. Like, it was actually amazing when you got to travel and explore. Now, you're totally right. You just look it up online, or all your friends know it because they looked it up, and they just go, oh, yeah, there's nothing over there. Don't bother. And you're just like, okay. So, it's totally true. I mean, it's pretty cool. I didn't know about that.
And they also, they're going to do, like, a procedurally generated underground, so you can just, like, start digging a hole, and you'll fall into a cave. And that cave,
what?
You know, maybe like a week from then, they're going to have an earthquake or whatever, and it's going to reset the cave system. So, and it's going to be randomly generated, and it's going to have...
So it's going to kill
maybe
you.
...different loot. Well, if if there's going to be an earthquake coming, get out of the ground.
But, don't dig holes.
They also have, like, a fully destructible environment, too, which is really cool. So you can, like, knock down trees and cut through walls and do whatever you want.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if we wanted the MMO section to turn into EverQuest Next Hypathon. But,
yeah, there's some significant limitations to, like the unknown factor in MMOs, just because the virtue of how many people play those games. I can anticipate it, even if they are a dynamic world, how much of that is just going to be, like, somebody's going to make a website where they're just going to track all that stuff anyway, and it's just going to be updated constantly.
Well, yeah. I think that's kind of inevitable, yeah. But I think it comes down to the difference between theme park and sandbox, and I think in the current gen, theme park has really won out, and it's, you know, you rarely see sandbox stuff anymore. I guess there's a few games out there now, but the market is really dominated by the easy to play games where it's kind of guides you through the game, you know. And I don't know. I think you kind of have to get like a level between the two. You can't have it too open, but at the same time, you can't hold a player's hand through the whole thing. And I think every game since WoW has been trying to find that perfect balancing point, and it's only a matter of time before someone really gets it right.
I think hopefully the EverQuest name can kind of draw people into the sandbox. So even if they're not real comfortable at first, they'll, you know, the name's there, recognition's there.
But sandbox like has potential. If you look at like games like Minecraft, that game is the opposite of theme. Going every time in Minecraft and you're in a different spot, you dig differently, you go different places. And like that's cool. You can do it 100 times. The same with Terraria and everything else. You just redo it, and it's like it's never the same twice. You start off and it's a different place, and even though I'm getting the same exact pick, like every single time, you know what I mean, during the game, like it's different, like how you get to it. So I think it's possible. It's definitely possible that people will like catch on to that style.
Yeah, one of my favorite sandboxes was Star Wars Galaxies, and they kind of I don't know what their decision making was to do it towards the end, but they kind of got rid of the sandboxing, and then the game just completely died. But it was a game where like you could go out in the wilderness and build a house, and then you could go you could build like a miner or like an air that would collect like vapor, all these weird things. It was just so open ended, you know, and I think that was unique. But that was a big game, you know. So
yeah, that was a cool game. And in that same sense, like I remember playing that game when it came out, and like if you wanted certain things, like you'd have to go to a crafter and you have to like go to their house. You'd like fly to another planet, go to a guild house, like at their. It was really interesting. It was like, I mean, that was obviously a player thing. Like that was their house on like Naboo or wherever they were, and like that wasn't like built into the game. Like those kind of aspects. So that's a good example.
The second half of the question for this week was, will there ever be another World of Warcraft? And I think, you know, another point to that would just be what would it take for another game to be as popular as World of Warcraft?
To dominate the MMO market?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's more, will there ever be another AAA title that just dominates? And I'm sure there will be at some point. Yeah.
I mean,
I think the question is when does World of Warcraft die? Like, what would what would kill it? Is it something that's internal, or is it something that another game can actually come in and do? Because personally, I think it's internal. When they run out of like content, or when they run out of any ways to make the game more meaningful to the players, the people are just gonna be like, "Well, I'm done."
It's dying, sort of already.
It's slow, but yeah, I mean, you can only continue the same game for so long. Like, I mean, I'm gonna go back when they release an expansion, but I don't have that same. Like, I'm not playing now. I'm not subscribed now. I'm trying other games. But it's Blizzard does polish every time you log into that game. It's well done. You never run into weird glitches. Never get stuck on a quest. I'm talking to you, Sony.
I think another part of the things about MMOs is when we're talking about sandbox, the learning curve is going to be so much higher, and any mistake you make is going to play so much harder into exactly what you're doing. And so for people who are coming into it, I mean, initially it's going to be awesome when everyone's on the same level playing field, but as people get up and higher and higher, there's going to have to be that constant regeneration of different games where there's that sandbox concept, because like people who have been playing the game so long are just going to be so much better than everyone else. If you're not having a cap, if everything is sandbox, if you can build a fortress where you block everything off and some like a guild, everything gets took out into specific territories, that kind of thing reminds me a little bit of Eve, where like I had a week, like I just decided I wanted to play a space game, so I started playing Eve again, and the game is fun until you actually remember all of the components of it, because then you realize everything is broken out into specific sectors of territory. And so if you go into a wormhole and you're like, this is awesome, I'm gonna explore this, then all of a sudden you're getting ganked by four other ships from a corporation that you have no idea who they are or what they want, but they're like, this is our territory, get out of here, or they're going to blow you up. And you're like, well, I just want to explore.
These are players?
Yeah.
Eve is crazy and has a crazy high entry level kind of learning curve.
I think that's one of the components, though, is that balance between like having something that's so open world that you can like feel. We just lost Tim, huh?
Tim's gone.
Anyways, I'll just continue and oh, there he is.
Tim's back.
Welcome back.
That's gonna start the podcast off, by the way, Charles Young.
Okay.
Anyways, so I think the having that balance is what will make a game successful and push it over the edge to be able to like pull people in that have difficulties starting off and give them like a learning curve that isn't steep, but and also give people that play the game a lot the feeling that they're able to do things that aren't just so cookie cutter, because that's like one of the things that WoW kind of suffers from is like you come in and it's like quest. Guy has a thing over his head. Everything's so like cookie cutter, looks cartoony, but it also pulls in a lot more people because like people are just like, oh, I know exactly what to do. I push once, a giant button, and it kills a guy. Sort of like, so. I mean, that's what you need to pull in the hardcore gamers and everybody else.
That's a good point.
So, did we actually answer the question? So, will there be another WoW? I don't think there will be. I just think there's too many MMOs out there now, and you always have the people that like don't want to let go. So whatever they're currently in, they're not going to give up to jump over.
I also think that like the question is a loaded question in the same sense that what you said about Blizzard. Like Blizzard can't be compared to like any other game. Like will there ever be another Diablo? Will there ever be another StarCraft? Has there been another Diablo or has there been another StarCraft? Like. Those games are old, and I don't think there's been a game that's better than them.
And I mean, there's the games like Torchlight. Like, that was a great clicker, but it doesn't... I feel like Blizzard hit this, like, perfect timing for at least people maybe our age or whatever, whereas, like, right as we're getting into video games, they're putting out these great titles that it was one of our, like... Diablo was my first dungeon crawler and click spammer, and it's always going to be the best for me because it was probably my first, and I got the nostalgia. StarCraft was, well... Warcraft 2, Warcraft 1. It was my first RTS, and that's my first experience with it, and it's perfect. And it was well-balanced and well-done, had a great storyline. That's always going to be my favorite RTS. I just think Blizzard kind of hit that sweet spot, and it's the same thing they did with WoW. WoW was my first MMO. I don't know, that's kind of a dirty secret. I didn't play EverQuest.
Neither did I.
But,
didn't miss much.
Actually, I played Shadowbane before I played WoW, and Shadowbane was pretty awful.
I remember trying to get in with you, and it was terrible.
Though that game was pretty sandbox.
Couldn't even move with your keyboard.
Nope, you couldn't.
I quit like right after I figured out that I couldn't change the keys.
So, we're getting toward the end of our podcast. Alright, top 5 game universes that would be awesome as an MMO. Charles, first one.
Borderlands, because I want to play as all of the weird-ass Badlands characters that you get to play as and level up, just like you get to level up when you're playing the game.
Would Claptrap be in it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He'd be like a pet.
He'd give you a certain buff, depending on his level.
He's actually a faction leader.
I'm dancing.
His own faction.
Give me a half ad. Yeah,
that alone would make me want to play it.
God.
I think the real question is, like, what would the quest? What would the storyline be in that?
I don't know.
It would just be utter chaos. Has there ever been an MMO where you, like, it's all just players, there's no NPCs, and you're just giving other people quests? Okay.
There's kind of like that idea with the Foundry and Neverwinter.
That's true.
Where players kind of create quests and create dungeons.
Hmm.
So number 2, Mass Effect universe.
I think Mass Effect would be an excellent one because there's just so many planets and there's so many different races. It just kind of plays to that, to the MMO and to like the RPG kind of shooter game where you could be, I don't know, I forget the names of all the different races, but there's so many different ones, and there's so many different races that you don't even play a character as that are in the Citadel at any given time. So I think it'd be cool to play as them.
That's true. It'd probably be the closest thing to getting back to like Star Wars Galaxy. Like, I could see them doing a very similar game, but in the Mass Effect universe. I love that the doctor dude, I forget his name, but he's got the tiny, kind of looks like Beaker from the Muppets. Yeah. I'd be one of those guys.
Nice. Number three, Warhammer 40,000. I've never played Warhammer 40,000.
It's like a tabletop game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it's such a... you know, I know the original Warhammer didn't do too well, but 40K is just such a deep universe. You know, the idea of having elves and dwarves in space, like, what the hell? It's just so bizarre.
40K.
I think that's what makes it so cool, you know.
There's so many good villainous elements in Warhammer 40K, too. Like, deep space and all the chaos realms. There's just no end to the content for that.
Yeah.
Next on our list, I'm going to go to Ryan for this one.
Oh my god. When this list came out, I didn't have this on here. I freaked out. A Pokemon MMO. I said, if the only reason it hasn't been made yet is because society would collapse, because everybody would stop going
gotta
outside.
Catch
they would
all,
only be playing
catch
Pokemon
all.
MMO.
Gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all.
I mean, Charles is excited. I just think it's a perfect setting for an MMO, and, you know, where you see these MMOs doing these things where kind of break it down classes with Rift only have three classes, or Final Fantasy 14 you could be any class with one character. You gotta do the same thing with Pokemon. Like, if you want to change it up, you just bring out a different Pokemon. I don't know, I think it's an untapped resource, and I'm pretty upset that it hasn't happened yet. Did anybody else play? Am I alone here?
No, I think that'd be pretty sweet.
I've been googling Pokemon MMO for like the last 4 or 5 years every day. Not gonna lie, it's in my search history.
I got a Google alert set up.
It's like a trending.
Somebody should just make a game like that where you just throw random actual heroes out. Like, you have a rogue and a ball, and you just throw them out. And it's just like the Overlord playing with all of them, dance.
Well, everybody made fun of WoW when they announced their vanity pet combat system or whatever, and it was kind of, I don't know, they could have done a better job with it, but I played the shit out of it. I'd lost tons of hours.
We have the last one. Can I do this one off the cuff? I got one.
Do it.
Alright, so this will be number 5. Kingdom Hearts Online.
Oh my god.
It'd be such a great game, having all those different universes and like different planets that like have different movies and stuff. Oh, that was a great game. I feel like there's so much potential for like the genre.
What would you do for races? You have like duck people, like out of DuckTales, or like
Mickey Mouse.
You'd be like a random mouse.
Final Fantasy VII, everyone has Buster Blades. Yeah. Final Fantasy VIII, everyone has Gun Blades. Final Fantasy IX, everyone dressed up in steampunk costumes.
Black wizards.
Yeah, everyone's a black wizard, correct.
PvP would be sick. You see, like, Barret going at it with Minnie Mouse. That would be...
Die, you bitch!
That's a brilliant idea. That needs to happen, too.
Yeah, I feel like that would be so cool. Because you'd be so into the environment. Like, every time you win places, you'd be, like, so much more, like, involved in the storyline and the environment. I'd be, like, listening to everything everyone said.
That's true.
Yeah.
Be cool. And also, can I just say, I love that we got DuckTales into this episode again.
Yeah. And you can play as Scrooge McDuck.
like there's been a DuckTale reference every episode.
DuckTales.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Well, I think we're running out of time, potentially.
Still gotta go over what we're playing. Chat it up.
Yeah, quickly. Let's go through what we're playing. I'm playing... I just started The Last of Us. It's friggin' awesome, and I definitely teared up in the first half an hour of the game. If that tells
you
anything.
I know. After
you
said that, I watched that video and was like, "God damn it! I wish I could play this game right now."
Just watch the movie online on YouTube.
Yeah, I watched like an hour and 45 minutes of it on YouTube.
I beat the game, and then I watched that video with Mikey, and I watched the whole thing. So I watched like 2.5 hours of a guy playing the game. It was awesome. I loved it. It was like I watched a movie. It was cool.
It's so good. Anyway, Steve, what are you doing?
I've been playing a lot of Terraria lately in anticipation of the update that's being released October 1st. So that and Dota and everything else, but I'm pretty excited for Terraria. And also Starbound. They released gameplay video online. Looks great.
Nice. Charles, what you got?
I'm playing Trine 2 and just enjoying the environment in that game and all the like the different components. It's a little one-dimensional, just kind of in some aspects, but it's just such a beautiful game. And then I've been also playing Dota 2 a lot still.
Nice.
Getting better and better. Now I know how to actually make items in a proper sequence.
He's still bad. I played
Ryan shaking his head. Mostly because I was 3 levels below everyone else, and then but at least I don't keep my character back in the keep the entire game. I've had that happen
Stop
to me.
Stop feeding, Charles. Stop feeding.
Charles just said he's better than an AFK player. So let's get that going for him.
I don't feed, I gorge.
Tim, what are you playing?
I've been playing WoW with extra self-bloating, and that's about it, man. Just sick of life.
Oh, man.
Nice. Ryan, why don't you take us out with what you're playing too?
I don't think I can follow up to that. Jesus. I've been trying to play Final Fantasy 14. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's a glitch and I can't keep playing. This is going out to Sony again. So when I log in and I check and I still can't interact with that NPC, I immediately log out and I play some Dota 2.
The best part is I was with Ryan in person like 2 weeks ago and he couldn't play Final Fantasy because he couldn't log on to the servers. So
I honestly, I'm not sure why I'm playing this game.
Is this a game you're actually paying for right now?
You can't play.
Well, no, they did good, and they extended the free play period, 2 weeks for everybody, so all the server issues, no one paid for that. I mean, I will say it is a good game. It feels kind of old. It's definitely AAA quality as far as, graphics go. There's just a glitch or two. The combat system's refreshing. It's got all those great Final Fantasy sounds and animation.
Can you ride a chocobo
lore
yet?
Behind it. You can ride a chocobo, and you got the chocobo music, and I nerded out hardcore about that, and there's rumors you're going to be able to breed chocobos, and they're putting Golden Saucer into the game. So
they're putting Golden Saucer in the game? Does that mean it's the Final Fantasy VII universe?
They're kind of tying in different things, but no, this isn't the Final Fantasy VII universe. They're just using the Golden Saucer.
Okay, just
but from what I can tell, they might tie in more of the universes and kind of get cameos and stuff. As a Final Fantasy nerd, I'm fucking geeking out all the time in this game.
Sweet. Well, that brings us to the end of our podcast. Thank you, Ryan Gunn, very much for coming and hanging out with us for an hour and a half or however much time we just took up.
Once it's edited down, it'll be about 27 minutes.
Well, thank you for coming and providing us with some good MMO knowledge, and we'll definitely have you back sometime.
Yeah, let me know. I'll come back every week. I have, like I said, almost zero life. It's not available.
Nice. One over infinity.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Charles. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. I'm Nick. Thank you, listeners.
You're welcome.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter, LN Gamer Podcast, and we're on iTunes.
Rate us 5 stars.
And Facebook.com/LateNightGamerPodcast. So
shameless peddling.
That's it. The end. We're done. See ya.
Later.
Yeah.
Late night game. Late night game. Late night gamers.
You should add in a dropping the mic sound right there.
I'll just do it right now. All right, now just stop it.
They're huge. This is Sparta. Chaos.
Just don't talk to me. Just pretend like I'm not here for this whole part.